will rise above the mess with a little peace.
Hi, my name is Francesca Jabrian. I'm running for Florida House District 1.
Not the best start when you don't know your own name. I mean, everybody makes mistakes, okay? I make mistakes, and I will tell you that God loves to get me because whenever I make fun of people's kind of verbal fluffs, flubs or gaffes, they'll I am sure to make like three in that segment. But okay, so it's, I don't know how to say her last name. It's Jabrian. Yeah, Brian, it seems like something you would say to your buddies on the corner somewhere. Anyway, Francesca, yeah, anyway, I'm going to let her say it, sort of, but let her make her point.
Hi, my name...
She's a Democrat running against Michelle Salzman for District 1 representative, so a hopeless cause. I don't mean she's hopeless. I mean, Democrats never going to win that seat, right? So, but anyway, here goes.
Hi, my name is Francesca Jabrian. I'm running for Florida House District 1. I am here to also oppose the AI ban, and I'm really glad that Mr. Bear has a proposal on there.
It's not an AI ban, it's a data center ban, but the 6 of 1, half dozen the other, 6 of 7, whatever. Anyway, so she's with the crowd. This is at the Pensacola City Council meeting on Thursday. I swear, the number of meetings that this group has shown up to, it's the Escambia County Commission, then it's the Pensacola City Council, then it's the Santa Rosa County Commission, not as many, and then they actually showed up at the, get this, the PEDC meeting, the Pensacola Economic Development Council meeting, which nobody shows up to. Like, I've never even been to one. Like, you know, they don't even stream online, but somehow they got word, so they went and showed up there and protested. So these folks at least, I mean, they're sort of organized and passionate. I wish they'd be more organized about their arguments, but okay, fine. Anyway, back to Francesca.
When in the United States of America in the past...
Wait, the what?
When in the United States of America in the past 8 years have you seen Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, non-affiliates come together, united on one issue to say that we don't like this? I have met different people and talked with different groups of people to say that this is something that we disagree with. And that should please you.
I've met with people chatting online and social media where the data is housed in the data centers that we're all opposed. And she's probably met people in person. And I'm being a little bit rude to her, and that's not my intent here. She's just giving me the opportunity. I like the fact that people run, even when they run hopeless campaigns. I like that. I think it's good for a democracy to have healthy conversations. This was the reason I played this clip. Not all, I wasn't going to play that. But there was one part of this right at the end that I thought was very interesting. And you'll hear in just a second.
That's another reason why I'm running. And to see this unity should bring you the spirit of change. So that's all I wanted to say here. And you should look at that as a fellow politician and be thankful that you have a peaceful community here that cares. Thank you.
Thank you. And just a reminder that there's no political campaigning permitted, but thank you very much, ma'am.
There it is. Now, first of all, she's not a fellow politician because she's not been elected yet. But okay, Allison Patton, City Council President, admonishing her very lightly, but also admonishing the crowd, no campaigning from the podium, which is a rule that the City Council has made. But not constitutionally defensible, in my opinion. So here's what I expect. I would think that at the next city council meeting, you might get a visit from the plumber, Larry Downs Jr., who's a friend who will raise a ruckus about limitations on speech, even though most of the time he raises those objections, I believe him to be mistaken. See, I did it. Mistaken. I knew it would happen. And then you might even get across the water. Jerry Cooney might come over water and complain to you about how you're violating people's constitutional rights. And he will be partially right and partially wrong. You do not have a constitutional right to public forum that's not related to the agenda. I mean, you don't have a public constitutional right to even comment on agenda items. You have a Florida state right to comment on agenda items, not a Florida state right to participate in public forum. But here's where you do have a constitutional right. If they're going to allow people to participate, they have to let everybody participate. Now, Colton Wright saying that he disagrees, that's entertaining in its own way because that's an opinion. And Should the politician not have their opinion? I mean, okay, you can say, I don't think it's cool. You can't prohibit it. So Allison Patton, I don't think you can, and she's speaking on behalf of the board. It's not just her rule. I don't think you can prohibit people from campaigning at the podium. If you're going to allow people to speak at the podium, you got to give everybody the same amount of time, and you cannot censor for content one way or the other. All viewpoints must be allowed. If they want to politic, that's their choice. But anyway, so it might be interesting to see if anything comes of that very, very, very minor interaction at last Thursday's Pensacola City Council meeting. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We are still rolling accident-free, even delay-free. I see I-10, I-110 are all looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five. The History of the Blues is presented by Prim and Proper.
Some published accounts, including a few from the Navy itself, as to how the Blue Angels got their name are inaccurate. One story says the name was coined at the Cleveland Air Races in 1946 when a reporter, after witnessing the performance, exclaimed, "Those boys are out of this world." The angel word was a natural offshoot of such a phrase, and the name stuck. Another version claims that a man in the grandstands yelled, "God, if they don't look like Blue Angels." Well, those might be interesting side tales, but they're not true. Here's how the Blue Angels really got their name. The press had been referring to them by their official name, the Navy Flight Exhibition Team, or as simply, that Navy Flying Outfit. Thinking a more exciting name would bring added recognition to NAS Jacksonville and the team itself, the base newspaper, the Jacks Air News, conducted a contest with a $10 cash prize to whoever submitted the best name. They were looking for a name with zip and color. Among the names submitted and considered were Sky Dancers, the Flying Buccaneers, the Sea Eagles, Top Notchers, the Skyscrapers, Navy Cats, the Blue Bachelors, the Sky Rocketeers, the Cloudbusters, Stratocats, and Aerocats. But the winning name was Blue Lancers. That's right, the Blue Lancers. The young boy who submitted the winning name got his $10, and the Navy Flight Exhibition Team got a name. So why don't we call them the Blue Lancers anymore? As it turns out, the men of the Blue Lancers didn't much care for the name. Soon, the Blue Lancers were scheduled to perform in New York. In preparation for their trip, they were looking through the New Yorker magazine when they came across an ad for a local nightclub called the Blue Angel. The consensus among the team was immediate. They loved the name. Commander Voris announced the new name to reporters during the pre-show briefing at the World's Fair of Aviation in Omaha, Nebraska on July 26, 1946. Henceforth, they would be known the world over as the Blue Angels. I'll be back with more after this.
Summer is here, and Prim and Proper is ready. From officially licensed Blue Angels and U.S. Navy merchandise to custom engraving and branded promotional products, they do it all right here in Gulf Breeze. Shopping for yourself, buying a gift, or putting your logo on something your customers will actually keep? Go see them. Visit primandproper.com or stop by their shop in Gulf Breeze, located in the heart of Proper on the way to Pensacola Beach. Prim and Proper, officially licensed, locally loved.
The Blue Angels get a new plane and lose a pilot in the next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Making a few small changes to how you use energy in your home can make a big difference. Like setting your AC, every degree you raise it can save you up to 5% on cooling costs. With the FPL Energy Manager, you can easily monitor how much energy you're using, see which appliances use the most, and how it affects your bill. Keep more money in your pocket by making your home more energy efficient. Learn more at fpl.com/ways to save.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Do not seek the treasure. We thought he was a toad.
We'll be right back.
I love when I play these clips, and I ask John sometimes before when the music's playing, you know, like.
And I can see the people.
It's like you know the movie, but you can't quite put your brain scratcher on it, you know, and Oh Brother, We're Out There. And then you said what? That was your dad's?
My dad's favorite movie.
Aw, that's great. 620 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The Senate has passed the War Powers Resolution on Iran, marking the first time both chambers of Congress approved such a measure. The Senate approved the House-passed resolution, which seeks to end the conflict without Congress declaring war or authorizing the use of military force.
Yeah, it's really what's very interesting side note to this is I think it still has to go back to the House because maybe the language is not quite the same. But if I read it right, what they passed does not subject itself to a presidential veto because it's a concurrent resolution, and the War Powers Act originally says that a concurrent resolution does not go to the president. That's the first time I had heard that. I read it yesterday. I didn't follow up on it. But if that's true and if the House then passes it, I mean, this is very interesting. Now, the president, of course, has said that we're not engaged in war, so what's the deal? We're done shooting anyway. We got the best peace deal that there ever could have gotten. So, you know, it might be moot at this point, you know, after the fact. But it's still kind of interesting. So we'll see.
Absolutely.
Especially if there's a threat of, you know, conflict resurging. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, speaking of President Trump, he's expected to sign a massive housing affordability bill later today with the goal of lowering prices. That bill cleared the House on Tuesday night after it passed the Senate Monday. It would cut away some red tape and make it easier to build homes and put limits on investors buying up houses. And Earth, Wind, and Fire being crowned the greatest R&B group of all time by Billboard. The group took the top spot out of 50 on the Billboard list.
Yeah, hard to argue with that. I mean, really. David, thanks so much for the update. 622 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Have you been following the saga, John, of the reflecting pool? You know,
yes.
Used to be a color.
Yes.
And then Trump redid it, drained it, made it blue. Did a no-bid contract with one of his Mar-a-Lago billionaire buddies or whatever, you know? Yeah. The guy who, and I got to give credit to Jon Stewart on this, who did this on The Daily Show on Monday. The guy does look like if, you know, the mattress guy and a mobster and Gomez Adams made a baby. Kind of, go look it up. You tell me I'm wrong, okay? And then the name of the company is... What is it? It's Greenwater something or other. So the name of the company that got the no-bid contract for $14 million or whatever to redo the reflecting pool that turned green is literally the name of the company is Greenwater. You couldn't make this up. So, you know, Trump says it's vandalism that's now caused the problems, the paint peeling and chipping. Somebody went in there and cut it for 300 feet, he says. I mean, I don't know the truth of all that. But here is the one thing that I know. I know that Trump absolutely must get rid of the water and fix the problem because his biggest campaign promise was to drain the swamp.
Gotcha.
I can't even take credit for that joke. That was somebody texted me. I forget who texted me that joke the other day, and I thought, oh, I don't care how much I've got to, you know, back bend and untwist to make that joke happen, but that joke has to happen.
Boo.
Oh, I know it.
And you want a Marconi.
Yeah,
I know.
You can barely tell. 620. Even David in the other room was laughing in spite of himself. Is that a fair way to describe it, David?
Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, right.
I laughed. I didn't feel good about it.
Nobody does. 4-3-7-16-20. I will say this. I hope they get it figured out. I mean, since we spent all this money and got nothing so far. Because it really looked cool when it was blue. I've seen some of the pictures of it. It was a very cool look. So anyway, like I said, I hope it works out. Oh, in a story that could only be brought to you out of anywhere in the entire world because of people, this one happens to come out of the U.K., did you happen? I'm sure you haven't seen this. It's such an obscure story. In the UK, in Great Britain, you've got a guy who lives on a houseboat on a river, and the river is not well maintained. And, you know, he's an environmental lawyer, They called the river is the River Roding, I guess, the name of the river. And they created a trust and a group of people because it was so poorly maintained that they wanted to go clean it up. So he's been complaining to the authorities, their version of the EPA, that they won't clean up this river. So they finally get a group of people together in Northeast London, and they go clean it up. It's tires, it's trash, it's all kinds of, it's everything, okay? It's the same kind of stuff that, oh, I should know this because we volunteered with them for several years. What's the local organization that does the cleanups on the beach? Ocean Hour. It's basically they did what Ocean Hour does, only they did it in a pretty determined way. They pulled 200 bags of trash from the waterway. And he showed a picture online that makes it looks, I mean, it looks like a, it's horrid, you know, horrid of a place they did not clean up. So decades of ignoring the problem. He kept complaining to the authorities about it. They did nothing. He and a bunch of buddies went in there and cleaned it up. What happened? Tell you in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Don't do it to me.
You both won't believe it and you will totally believe it. But okay. Go ahead, John.
All right. It's brought to you by Anderson Subaru, still rolling accident free. And delay-free, I-10, I-110, 2998, they're all looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So the Environment Agency responded, that's what they call it over there, the British Environment Agency. We deeply care about protecting the River Roding and will work with any partners who want to help improve the local environment. However, governance and expert advice is necessary to make sure that work does not cause unintended harm to flood risk, drainage, or the wider environment. And they are looking into the prospect of fining him for environmental remediation without a permit.
Really?
Really? Yes.
We're clean.
20 years, he says, he's been protesting about the terrible condition of this river. He and some friends spent 10 days cleaning it up. And the response from the British version of the EPA is, how dare you clean up that river without a permit?
So dump it all right back in.
He faces 2 years in prison.
What? For cleaning.
For cleaning up the environment without a permit. Now, there's no charges yet. There's no, like, court case yet. But if they decide to flex their authority and their muscle, and I got to be honest, the stories that I see about the justice system in the UK do not make me feel happy thoughts.
No, me
either. A lot of really weird, bad, ugly things going on in the UK these days. Sort of like Canada, but anyway.
Okay.
So there you go. A story that you might have thought would only happen in the United States. Because you can see that
story. I thought
story
it was going to be like
here.
Alabama or Florida.
No, no. This is the UK. I guess, thank goodness. 437-1620. Oh, briefly on the data center thing. The mob against data centers, it's happening right now. It's wild. Anyway, I saw a story yesterday in Florida Politics. It's a statewide website that covers Florida. Politics, as is it the name. Commissioners in three counties have advanced moratoriums for large-scale data centers, hyperscale they call it, prohibiting applications, permitting and rezoning for 12 months. The stated goal is to allow time to research the issue in depth and weigh the pros and cons like we talked about yesterday. Santa Rosa County is talking about this. They haven't done it yet, but they want to bring it in under 12 months because of Burt Harris takings problems that if you declare a use of land illegal, you may wind up owing compensation. If you make it a permanent change, if you make it only a 12-month moratorium, Burt Harris doesn't get triggered. Anyway, I was just curious if they put us in this because, you know, we're moving in this direction and Scambia says they're going to look at this. Pensacola City, Charles Baer wants to move forward with this. Although City of Pensacola is a little bit of a weird one because, you know, it's not like there's a place. Anyway, no, we're not even one of the three counties. Neither of us are. Clay, Hernando, and Lake. So make it five counties are, you know, taking action in this direction or sort of moving in this direction. They say over a dozen counties statewide have adopted or advanced data center moratoriums and bans, all in North or Central Florida. Several municipalities have also recently advanced similar moratoriums, including Lakeland, Zephyr. How do you say it? Zephyr Hills, is that how you
Zephyr
say
Zephyr Hills,
it?
Yeah.
I always want to read that because I'm not from Florida as Zephyrillis.
Huh?
Well, if you read it like a not Floridian. Just like my whole life, I grew up talking about Valparaiso University, and then I find out that people who live here say Valparaiso, and I have a hard time saying that because it's wrong.
It's okay.
But you we can have a thing you. That's called Valparaiso over there and Valparaiso over here, and that's just the way the world works. Like, you know, there's Toledo in Ohio, and then there's Toledo or whatever. There's just people say weird things all over the place. They just say, oh, no, Oregon the state, and then people say Oregon in Ohio. Kid you not, like, where would it come from? Anyway, so there's this push, and again, all I can say is, again and again, is do you like smartphones, social media, streaming, the internet? Do you like, you know, do you use AI or do you just like to complain about it and use it? Where do you want the, you know, let the Chinese have all of them. That'll work out well for us.
Yeah, really good.
So anyway, just a thought. Oh, an interesting big fight over a small issue where I think that actually is why it's interesting at the Pensacola City Council. I'll tell you all about it coming up next.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. A socialist sweep in yesterday's primary elections in New York City.
Congressman Adriano Espaillat, the chair of the Hispanic Congressional Caucus, lost his seat to Democratic Socialist Darielisa Avila Chevalier. In New York's 10th Congressional District, Mamdani-backed progressive leader Brad Lander ousted Congressman Dan Goldman, who was the lead prosecutor in Trump's first impeachment trial. And in New York's 7th Congressional District, another Democratic Socialist member, Claire Valdez, won the Democratic nomination.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, says their inspectors will visit Iran's nuclear sites.
He said the priority remains locating the highly enriched uranium that is currently buried inside of Iranian territory. While the timeline is unclear, this statement shows while Iran says one thing publicly, there are clearer agreements behind the scenes.
Fox's Trey Yanks, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 77 degrees. We've got clear skies this morning. We'll get a look at our forecast from Channel 3. Brooke Richardson, that's up in just a few minutes. A charter elementary school is coming to the University of West Florida campus. The UWF Board of Trustees has approved the university to serve as the authorizing body for Somerset Academy, a charter school network that operates 75 schools nationwide. President Manny Diaz says that the university will handle oversight only, not day-to-day operations. That school is set to open in August with 50 to 60 students, kindergarten through third grade. UWF students, faculty, and staff will receive enrollment preference. The school could eventually grow to serve up to 580 students through fifth grade. Construction behind Argo Village is already underway. Well, the wrecking crews arrived at the Old Baptist Hospital site in downtown Pensacola. For those who worked there, the demolition brings mixed emotions. The hospital served the community for nearly 73 years before closing. Former employee Allison Holt tells Channel 3 she's hoping whatever replaces it keeps healthcare in the area.
A lot of residents in the community does not have transportation, so it would be easy access for them. So by the being in a new location, it's kind of difficult for some patients to get there.
The city is accepting proposals on the future use of the property. The next public forum on the site's future is August 6th at 5:30 p.m. At the Lakeview Center. The full demolition is expected by June 2027. A 42-year-old Foley man is charged with murder after shooting and killing his cousin during a dispute Monday evening. Baldwin County say Joseph Lee Smith shot 55-year-old Robert Keith Barlow with a shotgun inside of a home on Manic Lane. Barlow was taken to a local hospital where he died. Smith was detained at the scene and is being held without bond. An investigation is ongoing. A fourth woman has been arrested in connection with the Escambia County foster child abuse case that left a 1- and 3-year-old with 25 combined injuries. Sheriff Chip Simmons announced on Tuesday that the Families First Network case manager Lauren Dabbs was arrested in Okaloosa County on a charge of culpable negligence for failure to report. Simmons says Dabbs failed to report visible injuries on the 3-year-old despite being a trained caseworker. Dabbs joins two foster mothers facing aggravated child abuse charges and a daycare director previously arrested for failure to report. More arrests remain possible as that investigation continues. Pensacola State College is searching for a new president after the planned retirement of Dr. Ed Meadows at the end of the year. And the search process is drawing attention for, well, who's not involved. Unlike the 24-member committee that selected Meadows nearly two decades ago, the search committee this go-around consists only of the college's 9 Board of Trustees members. Board Chairman Zach Smith says the compressed timeline is driving the decision because Meadows wants to retire no later than the end of December. Smith says the community will have opportunities for input before a final selection is made. The board has also voted to request a DOGE audit ahead of the leadership transition. It's 6:35, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. And as we take a look at the roadways, I-10, I-110, 90-98, everything is flowing smoothly so far this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be seeing a 40% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Thursday, 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 88. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 78 degrees. Heading into Friday, a little more sunshine with just a 20% chance of rain, high near 89. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 79. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got clear skies, 77 degrees. Your next news at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Oil extended losses this morning as concerns over potential supply disruptions eased, while investors monitored developments in the strategically vital Strait of Hormuz. West Texas Intermediate at roughly $71 a barrel, Brent at $75, which is its lowest level since February. The House of Representatives today will begin consideration of a bill to force tech companies to pay for artificial intelligence strain on the power grid, as voters across the country express dissatisfaction with data centers driving up utility costs. The bill represents one of the first attempts by Congress to force tech companies to pony up for data centers' massive electricity demand. Treasury yields fell this morning as Brent crude prices fell to levels not seen since before the Iran war began, and investors await key inflation data due to be released tomorrow. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note fell 1 basis point to 4.483%. Futures are currently mixed. NASDAQ futures up by more than 100 points. Yesterday, the NASDAQ was down 579. That's your money now.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team. Build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Hi, folks. This is Bulldog attorney Dan Stewart. The Blue Angels inspire a culture of excellence. Abused or homeless children do not have a jury of their peers. Let's inspire a culture of excellence to protect our children.
With Bulldog Dan, we make it clear that every child is wanted here.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida tomorrow at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Party down with a big bang as Shelton Fireworks celebrates being in business for 50 years. They're located on I-10 and Exit 53. That's the first Alabama exit in Robertsdale, Alabama. Shelton's has the world's largest selection with over 35,000 square feet of fireworks. They have the largest finale cakes and the largest mortars legal in the USA. If it goes boom, Shelton's got it. Located on I-10 and Exit 53. That's the first Alabama exit in Robertsdale, Alabama. For more info, go to sheltonsfireworks.com. Shelton's Fireworks, home of the big ones.
You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Pensacola Morning News helps you understand what happened overnight, what's happening here at home, and why it matters before the rest of the day even gets started.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I believe that going with the most accurate figures on the impervious surface is the way to go. And so I believe that this extra expense is justified. I think that there are homes. There's a home in my neighborhood that was built right at the entrance that I've seen 10 cars parked in their driveway before. And I think their surface area of their driveway is actually more than the footprint of their house. And that's not taken into account. I don't think that's right. And so I think we need to get this right. And for the citizens, keep it fair and look at the actual square footage of the impervious surface.
All right, that's City Councilman Charles Baer. He's not going to be the only voice, but he's the one I led with the most recent edition of City Council Melodrama Theater in Pensacola, not Milton. Same music, different city, different notes, you know, Carpenter Creek instead of Blackwater. But this is all over the stormwater assessment. And the stormwater assessment is a fee that you pay if you live in the city of Pensacola every year into a fund that makes sure that we try to manage stormwater as much as possible, like putting in the vortex vaults and cleaning out drains and just making sure that the water that comes off of your property goes to a safe place and goes there cleanly. And, you know, that's the point. It's $5 million a year. And the way it works, the total collection, and the way it works is they break you up into the, I'm going to screw up some of this terminology, ESUs, I think, are what they call it. And it depends on the size of your home. Small homes get one fee. Small to medium get a little bit more based on square footage. Medium get a little bit more and large get a little bit more. And then very large, it's based on the square footage. And the premise behind that is that if you have a big home, then that home is creating more storm water runoff because you have created more impervious surface. You've gotten rid of dirt and grass and trees. And so bigger homes, bigger footprint, more stormwater, you should pay more because you're contributing to the problem more than somebody who has a small home where they don't have much impervious surface. And what Charles Baer is saying is, well, you know, there's an inconsistency here, right? And we've talked about this before, but it's been a couple of months. But the idea is that you might have a small home with a big driveway, and right now that doesn't count against you. You might have a big home with a little teeny tiny driveway. Or a grass, probably not so much in the city, but, you know, a very small driveway. And you are actually creating less impervious surface than somebody else who has a big driveway. And that doesn't seem fair. So the proposal in front of the council is to do something that would get a more accurate picture of actual impervious surface on everybody's home. Therefore, people would be paying the theoretically more accurate or appropriate or fair amount of the stormwater fee so that everybody can have this service. Jen Brayer.
Honestly, for how expensive the other option was and only getting 10% of the properties for half the price, opposed to getting 100% of the properties for this price and getting an actual accurate assessment once again of what is impervious within our city is incredibly important. And without assessing this properly, we're always going to be coming from behind. This is the gold standard, and I'm proud to support it. Thank you.
So it won't make more money, but it will have people paying a little bit more what seems to be their fair share. What she's talking about there is there was one proposal to do a sample of like 10% of the homes, and then, if I remember correctly, to use AI to project what everybody's should be. The one that she wants to do is the one that would actually look at every single home and figure out what the appropriate level of impervious surface should be. Jared Moore.
I just haven't heard a real clear benefit to the public other than that we will be more precise in our assessment, and then the fact that the cost would be that we're essentially expending what we spend in over what we spend in a year to maintain 95 ponds, or essentially what we spend taking care of these sediment tanks in a year. To me, that seems like the cost is awful high for being more precise with a public benefit for me that is nuanced and negligible at best. So that's where I'm struggling with supporting it this evening. Thank you.
Nuanced and negligible at best. Here's what he's getting at. The cost of this thing, and there was some disagreement exactly about how to compute the cost, but let's go with the lowest cost because compared to alternatives, you're talking about around $140,000. So it's going to take $140,000 to do a more precise assessment to figure out who has how much impervious surface square footage on their property and to charge them a little bit more and then to charge somebody else a little bit less. Or if everybody winds up going up, there's still that 5.2, I think is the number, million-dollar cap just gets divided by the ESUs. The point is, you're not going to raise more money. You're just going to figure out who should be paying what share of it. In fact, I mean, theoretically, you could have absolutely no change, but that's not going to be the case. So Jared says, look, for $140,000, I mean, when you talk about that kind of money, you're talking about the amount of money it takes us to maintain all of our stormwater drain pits every year. That's a big service. It takes, that's all the money it takes to maintain all of our sediment tanks. That's a big service. And what do we get for this other than a little bit more precision on who pays what? That doesn't seem to be worth the cost. You can't look the taxpayer in the eye and say, we're going to squander this money just so you can save a buck or two and somebody else pays a buck or two extra, when what we could be doing is actually doing the work that the stormwater assessment is supposed to provide for. We'll come back to this in a second because it gets more interesting and entertaining after this. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. You know me. I wouldn't do this if there weren't nothing to it.
Oh, I know. All right, let's see here. No accidents to report to you. Looks like 98, Highway 90, I-10, I-110. Everything is still flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. All right, so DC Reeves says, this is stupid.
We talked about Pensacola Energy, and we said, man, we can't afford it. We're going into tough times, except we want... ultimately, for vanity, we want to spend $200,000 that we now, Amy Tootle, is going to now have to go find to cut and mow every stormwater park, not for it to increase revenue, not for it to lower prices for the issue that we're talking about as a country and as a city. What we're going to do is just to say it's more fair. Well, then we should put 21,000 scales in garbage cans. That's the most fair way to do it. It's just going to be real expensive, and I would never support that. And I would rather spend $200,000 cleaning out people's stormwater ponds to make sure their houses don't flood. That's what I'd rather spend $200,000 on, and that's why I don't support it.
You get his point about garbage collection, right? Why do we charge people the same amount? We should charge them based on the weight, because that's the real issue. Or even maybe their weight plus some multiplier based on how far they are from the garbage collection site, because houses down distant roads take more resources and houses that are nearby. I mean, there's all kinds of ways you can tweak and refine things for so-called fairness or precision. And most of them wind up being either cost prohibitive or too complicated, or people just get fed up with it. And that's kind of the argument here. Sherry Myers, who's running against Charles Baer for District 2.
If you go to my house, what you're going to see basically is a forest. If somebody looks at my property and says, well, you know, she's really not, she has a big house and a long driveway that's all cracked up, by the way. But if you take into consideration all of the trees I have that mitigate stormwater.
As trees do.
Is that taken into account? Well, you're shaking your head no.
Because it's not.
And you know what? I have a problem with that. I really do. Because it's one way to incentivize people not to cut down their trees and to plant more trees.
Yeah, there's no accounting for the trees, even though that's a big part of stormwater management. There's just, it's a hyper-focus on one very particular piece of this puzzle, namely how much impervious surface you have, when there's all kinds of other factors that will affect your so-called fair share of the stormwater management costs. I mean, for example, if you live close to the eventual outfall of a storm drain, you should pay very little because you cost 50 feet. If somebody lives way inland and the water has to be moved a mile from their house, they should pay even more. But that's not being considered here. Here's what my takeaway is from this. I think that I understand exactly where Charles and Jennifer are coming from. I really do, because, you know, the idea of having a fair assessment, that makes sense to me. But they're so obsessed with this teeny tiny little question of fairness. Oh, and by the way, John, how much money are we talking about a year? $20, one way or another. We're talking about spending $140,000 so that we can get plus $8 or minus $9 on somebody's stormwater assessment. And it's still not going to really be fair because it's not going to account for trees and it's not going to account for distance of water moves and it's not going to account for dozens of other things that you could account for. It's a weird thing to fixate on, and it is $140,000 we don't have to spend on the actual stormwater mitigation stuff. That's what Jared is objecting to. That's why he put a motion forward and said, just forget all this. Let's just do what we do right now and move on. Keep it simple. Charles Baer whining about the process.
I'm kind of losing my appetite for the – I'm kind of getting – going more towards Councilman Moore's side only because I can see where this is going. I mean, the administration is clearly throughout the workshop, throughout this meeting, has been pushing us to keep it the way it is. So, you know, it's not something I want to die on my sword over. I think it's totally unfair to stay with the current contract to people that have properties that don't have much impervious surface.
Jen Brayer.
We are overcharging people. When you're talking about people, the people that have been more conscientious and have the smaller amount of properties are getting charged with a larger amount. That isn't fair. That's the point. I don't know what else. Doing it accurately is the only way we can assess it. I mean, getting a clean reading is the only way we know how to assess this accurately. Even if it's the same piece of pie, it doesn't matter. If you're overcharging one person and undercharging another, why are we not divvying it across the property?
And listen, she's a math teacher. I get it. People like math, people like philosophers sometimes get just so invested in the details of something being fair or unfair that we lose sight of the whole picture. But, you know, I would love them to have this same level of attention or, you know, City Council or Jen Brayer to, like, property taxes, to making those more fair, or gas tax or sales tax or any of the various forms of revenue. Because in this case, we're talking about, again, plus or minus $20 a year, $2 a month. Good Lord, who cares? You get the – this is why it was called vanity. You know, D.C. said it's vanity because it's a feeling that we finally made this stormwater assessment more just. Well, there's all kinds of other considerations that aren't even being brought in. Jared Moore.
The idea of fair, like that we're choosing between fair and unfair, because I truly feel that what I'm trying to articulate here is fair. It's not fair to levy an assessment on people and say we're going to treat the stormwater. Are we going to treat the stormwater or not? And if you're spending it on administrative costs, if you're spending it on further assessments, so you save them $20. I mean, because that's what we're talking about. What is at stake for people?
Right. Because is it more fair to make sure that you get the bill in line with the impervious surface? Or is it more fair to use the money for actually solving stormwater problems instead of getting a more finely tuned sense of justice out of the bills we send out?
This is not going to discourage anyone's behavior. So I believe what is fair to the citizen is if we're going to levy an assessment on them to treat the stormwater, that we spend the dollars we levy for that assessment to treat the stormwater, to try to make a more precise calculation isn't fairer to them. And that's all I just wanted to be clear. I'm not advocating for an unfair methodology. We can have different views of what's fair, but I feel certain that if we're telling people we're going to levy an assessment to treat the stormwater, that's what we should spend the money, and that is of greater benefit to them than to switch $20 from one parcel to the one next to it. Thank you.
And again, because it costs about the total amount of money for this expense to make it more fine-tuned, that's the amount we spend on storm tanks or sediment tanks and also on storm ponds every year. Casey Jones, same thing. Don't squander the resources. It's a waste of money. Allison Patton, at the end of the day, I'm worried that, you know, we're short on money. We're going to be short on money. Why would we spend it on something like this?
I just don't think this is the right time to spend $136,000 on something that isn't necessary, given everything else that's going on with our budget.
So what was the vote? 5-2. They just abandoned the project. They're just going to keep going with what they've got right now, which is the right outcome, in my opinion. That is the right outcome, in my opinion, because the cost to do this would have been not worth it. The outcome would not have mattered that much to very many people. It would still be a very imprecise version of who should owe what for stormwater. And my recommendation is this. Find big stuff and tackle those with that same level of zeal. instead of spending so much time. I mean, they had like a special meeting the day before this to talk about this. They'd done it before to talk about it. Like, good Lord. And I get it again because I know sometimes I get my brain wrapped around something and I want it to be just right. And I get where Jen's coming from. I get that's her mindset. She's a very smart lady, cares about precision and justice and the details. And those are all good things. But sometimes you can, you know, literally skip the forest for the trees. And I think that's what happened in this case. Even though they both did say we ought to account for the trees. And I would just say, well, let's just not worry about all that because it's only 20 bucks a month or 20 bucks a year one way or the other. If it's 20 bucks a month, maybe we'd talk about it. 655 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident free all throughout our area along with delay free. Not seeing anything to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, great selection. 300 good quality cars, trucks, vans, SUVs on the lot at any one time. Go there, drive a bunch. Think of it as your car buffet. You don't have to go to a lot of different places to see a really wide selection of most everything on the market that's maybe a year to 2 or 3 years old with, you know, two or three tens of thousands of miles on it. They warranty everything to 100,000 miles, 10 years, no problem. They take care of you, but it's simple. Right there in one place, you can check a bunch of things out. Now, maybe they have exactly what you're looking for. That's what happened to us. We literally went there to test drive a car, not intending to buy, but the price was so good and they worked with us. We're like, oh, well, we have to buy it because it's exactly what we want. And we've had a hard time even finding one to drive. Maybe they don't have exactly what you want. Send them looking for it. You want a different color, different number of miles for, you know, cheaper for more or more expensive for fewer or whatever the case may be. They go do that all the time, different trim level. They search for cars for people all the time. And then they'll call you, hey, are you interested in this? Maybe, okay, we'll buy it, and then we'll see if it works out. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
Let me introduce you to Social Mirror. This is when we take the best content from your social media platform and deliver it to the phones, tablets, and computers of your target audience, where they live or wherever they go on the internet. You can add a call to action that sends people to your website or opens up their phone app with your phone number on it or gives them directions to find you. All of this comes with reporting to show how many people saw the ad and reacted to it.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
A three-star Navy admiral recently fired by Secretary of War Pete Hegseth has now won a Democrat primary in South Carolina. Former Rear Admiral Nancy LaCour won the party's nomination for South Carolina's first congressional district in Tuesday's runoff. A federal judge blocking the Trump administration from making arrests at immigration courts Tuesday's ruling says the ICE policy of detaining migrants in courthouse hallways, it had a chilling effect on attendance at court proceedings. And Andrew, a ceremony being held today to honor the 98 people that died in the Surfside condominium collapse.
Oh, wow. Okay. So they were. So the objection is that they were going and rounding up the immigrants' friends and families who were at the immigration courts. Interesting.
Right.
Oh, coming up, PSC. Very interesting, some of the developments from the board meeting. I'll tell you about it up next.